This morning, a planet ate a spacecraft. But that's only a small part of the story. After close to 20 years in space, NASA's Cassini orbiter was killed off and intentionally sent into Saturn, which was the planet the spacecraft's images brought most of us much closer to than we ever would have thought possible. The Cassini made its final transmission to NASA earlier today before crashing into Saturn's surface. And to learn more about Cassini's mission and its demise, I'm joined by Brendan Mullen, astrophysicist and assistant professor of physics at Point Park University. Brendan, first of all, why was this project undertaken in the first place, and why is Saturn so exciting?
Well, you know how everyone has their favorite planet, so everyone would want to send a space probe to explore their favorite planet, but Saturn wins for a number of reasons. Saturn is like the jewel of our solar system. It's got this gorgeous ring system that's kind of like a mini solar system in its own right. It's got these pebble to mountain-size chunks of rock orbiting around it in this ring system, and it's kind of like how a solar system forms, just on a smaller scale and much colder. And it's got these moons that are beyond the types of moons that you see elsewhere in the solar system. It's got this moon Titan that has an atmosphere. You don't see that with other moons. And it's got this rich history of geology and chemistry that's so much like Earth, just entirely out of methane and ethane and crazy stuff like that instead of water and ice and rock. It's got other moons like Iapetus and Hyperion that are unlike anything else the solar system has to offer. Saturn just has it all.
And there's always the practical question, what did scientists learn? Was there a eureka moment?
Well, the most surprising thing about Saturn and its panoply of moons was one discovery in particular about one of the moons called Enceladus. While Cassini was orbiting around Saturn and observing all the moons, it witnessed this icy geyser spray coming from the south pole of this moon Enceladus. And this icy, salty water spray indicates that there's a subsurface ocean, an ocean underneath the surface of the moon. And if this ocean is in contact with some sort of rocky surface below the actual surface, then that opens up the possibilities for all sorts of exotic, what we call prebiotic chemistry, that could indicate that this moon, deep in the interior of this moon, might be a great place to look for life.
How much of a surprise is it that it existed? And does its existence then affect other assumptions and presumptions that may lead to other discoveries?
Oh, sure. I mean, just to back it up a little bit, back in the 90s, the spacecraft Galileo went to Jupiter and made a similar sort of discovery for its moon Europa, even though we knew it was kind of icy and many people thought it likely had a subsurface ocean of its own. But this craft in particular really put the nail in the coffin on that idea and said, yes, there is almost certainly some sort of subsurface ocean with perhaps its own kind of unique chemistry that could be conducive to life, perhaps as we know it. So this was this great moment in science where it's like, oh, hey, you know, this moon system, it's not exactly what we expected a great location for life to be, but hey, you know, you roll with what you got. So hey, let's start looking for these icy worlds that are around larger planets that are tidally heated by the gravitational pull of these planets. And Enceladus ended up being a great candidate for that. And lo and behold, soon as Cassini gets there, it starts spouting this icy water into space, basically saying, hey, I'm here. I could be a great candidate for life too. So now we're two for two, and the question is, where are we going to go from here?
And what do you think?
I'm not done with Europa yet, myself. I think that it's one of the most fascinating moons that we have in our solar system, and I think NASA is convinced too, and I think a spacecraft called the Europa Clipper is in the works, and it's going to take a more detailed look at that moon in particular.
Brendan, finally, why did Cassini have to take this plunge, and why into Saturn, ultimately?
I like to think that it's because in America, we love it when our celebrities crash and burn, and Cassini is kind of like the Saturnian celebrity du jour. So that's my short answer. The long answer is really kind of interesting. It's this really cool space age kind of idea. and that, hey, we've discovered that Enceladus might have this ocean that life could be forming, if not now, then someday. And in fact, similar things can be said about Titan. It's a little chilly on the surface, but underneath may be a great place to look for life, either now or one day. And we don't want to be bad neighbors and start throwing our garbage into other people's yards. So the best way to dispose of Cassini is to have it safely crash into the atmosphere of Saturn and burn up, much as meteors do through the Earth's atmosphere. And Saturn, not a good place to look for life, so we're not too concerned about, you know, disturbing any Saturnians, shall we say.
That's Brendan Mullen, astrophysicist and assistant professor of physics at Point Park University. He's been telling us about NASA's Cassini orbiter, which was intentionally destroyed earlier today on Saturn.